Hello and welcome to the 14th episode of the Dragon's Pen, podcast about fantasy writing, sci-fi writing, and other genre-specific writing. My name is Martin, I'm a fantasy writer myself, and I have spent years attending and leading workshops working with aspiring writers to help them understand how to improve their texts. I thought I might share my experience and give you some advice on how to develop your worlds, build your stories and characters, and help you write your own fantasy or sci-fi saga. So, let's get to it. Title of this week's episode is The End is Nigh. The third episode talking about the NaNoWriMo initiative, the writing, you know, finish your first draft of your novel in the month of November thing. I will be talking about the thing I found the hardest about writing, which is editing. I truly, honestly, and deeply hate the editing. I have no problem coming up with a story, typing it up, even if it gets difficult and complicated, but the editing, damn. So, you know, let me wend. I am sure some of you had the same problems with these in the past. So, it doesn't really matter whether it is a short story or a reasonable sized novella or a huge chunk of text. The editing will find you and it will bore you. I am actually currently in the third stage of my editing of my last novel. Well, I am in the process of recording a podcast about not editing it actually, but you know. There are two ways to look at the editing process, really. First one is, okay, the story is mostly done, now I need to polish it, fix it, and actually make it whole. Or the second way of looking at editing is, and this is my personal favorite, is, it is done, just no. Well, obviously, you can tell which one is more problematic. One is a major opinion of an experienced writer, and the second one is just me talking about you changing your view and you know how it is not done yet. No, it is the second one. The second one is problematic. It is the opinion of a child looking into the oven at half-baked cookies and just screaming they want a cookie. So let's talk about these a bit. I have recently heard a thing about a to-do list. It goes something like that the best way to keep a to-do list is to actually write it on a piece of paper, because the most important part of a to-do list, or like having a to-do list, is actually striking out items off of it. It is the most satisfying part, and I get that. It's kind of a signal to yourself you are done with this particular part of your to-do list, and it is very satisfying. Kind of the same way like typing the end after last few lines of your novel. It is one of the most satisfying moments I have ever experienced. And I am married and I have finished The Witcher 3 game like 3 times. So it really means something. It is a fantastic feeling to finish something that you created from your own head, from scratch. You have turned your thoughts and ideas into this tangible, real thing that you can just print out and hand over to someone, like, here's my novel, read it. This is a powerful emotion. The problem is when you have to start editing, when you have to really start to think about editing. It is like you were negating this powerful emotion that you just experienced. Like you telling yourself, well, we are not done yet, here comes the editing. Well, the part of the whole problem, the part of why the editing is hard, is exactly this inner conflict you experience, breaking your own sense of pure satisfaction. Is there a way to deal with this? Yeah, well, obviously there is. It is not to edit the whole thing. I mean, it is done, right? Well, obviously the discipline helps. Making yourself sit down and just, you know, make yourself edit the whole thing word by word is kind of a one way. There is another thing you can try though, a much more effective way of actually just kind of doing it. It really helps me and maybe it helps you, we'll see. Which is, you know, it is also hard, but it really helps to kind of change your mindset about the whole editing part. First of all, allow yourself to feel happy and satisfied, at least for a few days, weeks, maybe even a month. It really really does do things. You kind of out enjoy the satisfaction of finishing the first draft. And the second thing that it does, it will help you digest what just happened in a creative way. Well, maybe not digest it in a creative way, but rather digest the creativity that happened in front of you or with you, really. With the first draft, you are actually looking at your text as a whole for the first time. That provides you with a vastly new perspective and allows you to think in context of the entire story, entire text. That is really important. This sort of stepping away from canvas and looking at your painting from a distance and taking it all in at once. That is usually the moment when you see the shortcomings and, you know, the strong parts of your story more clearly than ever before. Like, you know, this chapter drags, or this is a very powerful action scene, maybe I can flesh it out a bit. Or maybe, I don't know, this has a hint of Deus Ex Machina, this scene needs some more depth, you know, stuff like that. It, you know, you might actually easily miss those while writing. But when you look at the thing as a whole, these things kind of pop out on their own. Allowing yourself to celebrate is just as important though. You did something awesome. It is fitting you feel awesome for a moment or two and not spoil it with, okay, now I have to edit the thing. Even if you think your first draft sucks, or even if it does suck actually, finishing it is a huge part of making it not suck, you know, in the future. A perfect idea in your head is never as worthy as a finished, not so perfect one. It might sound obvious, but this is something many aspiring authors struggle to grasp. I have met many aspiring authors telling me about this fantastic story they have, but, you know, just can't kind of find time to put it on paper. The problem is that these fantastic ideas are born and die in your head. Something new comes along, you know, you have too much stuff on your plate, you are too busy, you have, you know, new thing to worry about, and it just kind of withers and dies without ever being, you know, put on paper, without ever being an actual story. And that is kind of a shame. You know, it dies before anything can truly be done to make this fantastic idea into a fantastic story. So, you know, go ahead, type it down from start to finish, celebrate, and then when you are done celebrating, take a step back and look at it as a whole so you can start editing. Editing, as awful as I make it sound, actually comes naturally after a while. You have this thing, this, you know, the first draft. You might end up reading a few passages just because, you know, you can. You have exclusive rights to an unfinished book that you created. It's a powerful drag towards just reading a few parts on your own, just because. Nothing can really stop you from reading and rereading that fantastic action scene you have come up with by yourself, or that in-depth description of an ancient ruined temple that is so inspiring and so, you know, fulfilling for you. That is exactly the time to start, you know, the real editing process. When you can use your enthusiasm to read the whole thing again and look at it in a completely new way. I have multiple stages of writing and editing. The first one is obviously writing the first draft. At this stage, I don't really stop for anything and anyone. You know, if there is a quick fix for something, sure, I'll go back a few pages. But other than that, no. If I'm not sure with the name of a character, or a subplot I came up with, I don't really care. I just put in a note. Not to mention the grammar and spelling, you know, to hell with that. I'm in a zone. I'm just plowing through the text as fast as I can, as, you know, enthusiastically as I can, because I really want to keep my enthusiasm while writing the first draft. It really helps you to kind of just go along and power through. You don't really need that much discipline in writing when you have enthusiasm. This stuff will just kind of, you know, force you to write itself. I'll just make a note whenever I'm not sure and, you know, I'm just confused or something doesn't really fit. I'll just make a note and, you know, like, this character needs a more space or more depth or new name, stuff like that. The second stage comes about a week after I tap the end of the final chapter. I print the whole thing as, you know, on paper, and I start reading it. allowed. Might sound weird though, yeah, but you know, it really actually helps me when I hear the text, not just read it. Maybe it will work for you as well, so maybe try it sometimes. You'll instantly notice how the text flows when you hear it, how sentences fit together, and you know, how words sound. Well, obviously you hear how words sound, but you know, you hear the specific words you chose for the purpose of this particular scene, which is also very useful. This is exactly the step back from the canvas for me. I try to finish it as soon as I can, finish reading it, I mean, and you know, kind of fit it all in my head as a whole thing as soon as I can. It's one this huge chunk of reading, so I can think about it as a complete story, because sometimes things, you know, work out of context beautifully, but together, you know, not so much. You know, like, let's say colors. Red is a strong color. It can have a lot of meaning, you know, like blood and animalism, you know, wilderness, but you know, stuff like that. And then you add green, and green is also a very powerful color, nature, calmness, I don't know, toxicity, stuff like that. But red and green together, when you step back, when you look at these things side by side, all of a sudden, it can feel just too Christmassy, you know, red and green. And that might feel really weird, because you never thought, like, together, it might create an entirely new feeling, new emotion. And that is exactly the problem. You most likely not notice this until you look at them side by side and look at the whole thing. So I make notes like that in my printed version, looking for grammar errors if I can, but you know, mostly concentrate on how the text reads. Then with a printed version in hand and, you know, some notes and marks in it, I'll just fly through the first draft and fix whatever I found in my printed version and, you know, add the notes in. Then I send it over for some beta reading. That usually takes a while. I use this time to actually, you know, go through it in my head. I hand it on standby. I don't really actively think about it that much, or at least I try not to. When something hits me, sure, I make a note, but I don't really go into the text just yet. Again, I need to just kind of, you need to create a bit of space between you and, you know, your first draft. Otherwise, you will not be objective. I mean, you will never be really objective, but this helps at least a little bit to be somewhat objective. When beta readers are done, well, some of them anyway, you know, the thing with beta readers is they, most of them are very enthusiastic. Yeah, send it over, I will read it. And not all of them will. Just, you know, don't make a big deal out of it. People feel differently about something that you printed on your printer and something that is just, you know, published and finished. You know, your friends and your family and whoever just reads it as the text of yours, not a book, not something they would read in their free time. So, you know, sometimes it takes a longer and, you know, sometimes it never gets done. So don't make a big deal out of it. Just work with the beta feedback you already have. So when I do have the feedback from beta readers, I start with the third stage, the last one, the biggest editing process. I am rereading the entire thing again, fixing the grammar, fixing the stuff based upon feedback and my notes, and you know, fixing stuff I added while beta readers did their thing and I did mine. But I was not sure whether I should add it and stuff like that. I make these decisions, make these fixes, make these changes in this third and last stage. It is a huge one. I reread the whole thing again, with just like going back and forth, you know, switching the entire chapters if I need to. But here is the thing you need to keep in mind if you are planning on sending your novel to the publisher. No matter how much time you spend editing and re-editing and rereading, your novel will never be completely finished, because you are not the objective one. You are, you know, emotionally involved with your first draft. You see things differently. The publisher will have requests for more changes and different changes, something you didn't even think of or something you may disagree with. But here's the thing, usually a good publisher is much more objective than you could ever be. They know the market, they know books, they know what people want. And I'm not saying just listen to them blindly, just, you know, think about what they say and what they request as an, you know, edit. Because I know it's hard, but the thing is, they are trying to make the book a product. You are trying to fulfill ideal your dream. Obviously, you know, these two approaches will result in completely different expectations. So, you know, keep that in mind when talking to your publisher. So, you know, don't overdo the editing. You know, don't, you know, beat yourself up. Don't get stuck. Don't run yourself into a corner you cannot get out of. That's publisher's job. I will talk about, like, talking to a publisher in later episodes, I promise, but not now. The most important thing is the end at the, you know, the last two words in your story. Get your story to this point every single time you go through it. Like, when you're writing it, get to the end. When you're editing it for the first time, get to the end. When you, you know, get feedback from beta readers and make the big edit, get to the end. That is really the most important thing of finishing the novel, getting to the end. Everything else usually pops out along the way, but when you get stuck on this and that, you kind of break the whole composition thing. You need to think about it as the whole, and the only way to do it is to get to the end. So even when the book gets published eventually, or, you know, you will still think there is more work to be done. There's something you cannot really prevent. I do. I have published two books, and whenever I try to read them, I always think, like, I could have done this differently and maybe write this differently. And it will be the same with the next book I'm working on. You know, even if I spend hours editing it, send it over to publisher, they will, you know, the feedback that I will receive will be something that I did not expect at all. And, you know, I will fight them and change this and that. And, you know, maybe I won't, and, you know, stuff like that. And eventually, when all this is done, I will open the published book, if it does get published. I don't want to sound too sure about that, but, you know, it might. So if it does, I will still have this little thing that, you know, I read a sentence, go like, oh, I should have done this differently, or should have written it in a certain way. It's not something you can stop. That's why editing is so hard. It feels like you this never-ending cycle of reading and rereading, and you try to reach this, okay, this is done, this is perfect. It will probably never happen, even if it gets published. So, you know, just get to the end. Just run it through as thoroughly as you can, and this will be the best thing you can really do for your book. Because, you know, if you end up just editing and re-editing to no end, it will never be really finished, just as your fantastic idea you talked about to your friends. So when you find something that you feel you should have done differently and you are not sure how, just, you know, wait for the publisher. If there's no publisher and it's just your thing, just, you know, make a note and think about why and how differently and what would make it better. And, you know, make it happen in maybe the next one, the next first draft you do. Maybe the first one really, you know, the first one really sucks and you don't want to send it to publisher. But you have learned something. You have learned how to kind of discipline yourself into creating and re-editing the first draft. So, you know, the next one will be a little bit easier. So try that. Good luck with your writing, and hopefully you were at least a little bit inspired. Thank you for listening.